Yeah, today we don't want to continue chronologically in the outline. We come to the last page now. Behold, I'm coming quickly. We start at the end.
Amen.
Yeah, Lord, we praise you for your coming. Yeah, the conference. The Lord gave us a burden for this fellowship about God's masterpiece, the New Jerusalem, the holy city, the wife of the Lamb. That's what God wants to have at the end of this age. He has a masterpiece, and there are many things that God does here and there, all over the world. But there is a masterpiece. And today, for ourselves, we need to have this desire to be part of this masterpiece. You can do a lot of works. There are so many Christian activities all over the place. But there is only one masterpiece. And this is God's final masterpiece, eternal masterpiece. It means it doesn't change anymore. It is forever and ever what God wants to do and what he wants to reach with all people. And what is this this eternal masterpiece? What is this eternal masterpiece of God? The final one.
Masterpiece of God. What is it? Any guess? No? Make a guess. What's the final masterpiece of God? You want to make a guess? Yeah. The title of the conference is God's Masterpiece. What do you think is it? What is God's Masterpiece? Yeah? Wir, genau. Wir sind Teil davon. We are part of it. Aber
yeah, but it is also in the title. It is the holy city, the heavenly Jerusalem. Why do we know it? Because the Bible ends with it. The most important thing always comes at the end. In the end, we see the final product.
Das, was am Ende herauskommt.
Yeah, the result at the end.
Was am Ende hervorkommt, das ist, was
what comes forth at the end. This is what God wants to have.
Viele Dinge, Werke,
there are many works and activities, but there is only a holy and heavenly Jerusalem. And this is what God wants to have and to do today. And our burden should be, and must be, also in this conference, that we all focus onto his masterpiece. Many other Christian activities are okay. And we don't have to criticize them. It is okay. But the danger is that we get distracted by many other things. Many things that maybe in our eyes are very precious and good and Christian. Not bad. And maybe biblical, but God wants to finish his masterpiece with us today. That's his focus. That's what it is about. And if our work is not focused on that, and our doing today has not this goal, then we miss the mark. Then we are distracted by many things. And eventually, we end up somewhere. And yesterday night, we heard where you end up if you don't end up in the heavenly Jerusalem. In Revelation, in the end, there is not so much choice. How many cities are there in Revelation in the end? 15? Stuttgart, Mühlacker, Pforzheim, Heilbronn. And you can decide where you want to live. Is that the end of the Bible?
Wie viele Städte haben wir?
How many cities do we have?
Es gibt nur zwei Städte.
There are only two cities.
Und welche zwei Städte?
And which two cities are them?
Sophia,
are they?
Welche zwei Städte gibt's am Ende der Bibel?
Sophia, which two cities are there?
Das neue Jerusalem, der Feuersee, das ist gut, aber der Feuersee ist ja noch keine Stadt.
The new Jerusalem and the Lake of Fire. That Lake of Fire is not a city. That's where it ends. But the church told us already what it's called. The second city, it is Babylon. Revelation 17 and 18 is about the Great Babylon, and Revelation 20 and 21 about the new Jerusalem. I mean. 21 and 22, I think. So there are only two cities. And we have to be sure that we build the city of God, because everything else will become Babylon and end up in a lake of fire. So it's a good time to focus newly onto the masterpiece of God, that we would not be distracted left and right. And why is it so important today that we would make use of this remaining time to be for the masterpiece of God? It is because we don't have much time anymore. The Lord will finish His masterpiece soon. We live in a time where the Lord comes back very soon. Let us read the word. Revelation 22.
Offenbarung 22, Vers 7.
Revelation 22, verse 7. Just the first sentence all together. Behold, I am coming quickly. Amen. Behold, I am coming quickly. And now verse 12. Revelation 22, verse 12. And behold, I am coming quickly. That's good enough. Behold, I am coming quickly. Verse 20. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. So how many times did the Lord say, I'm coming quickly?
Einmal.
One time.
Zweimal.
Two times.
Dreimal.
Three times.
Was heißt es, wenn der Herr sagt,
so what does it mean if the Lord says three times, behold, I'm coming quickly?
Es wird 100% erfüllt.
It will be fulfilled 100%. Three times the Lord says, behold, I'm coming quickly.
Und das hat der Herr gesagt,
and the Lord said it 2,000 years ago,
als Buch Offenbarung geschrieben,
when Revelation was written.
So, wie schnell kommt der Herr?
So how quickly
wie schnell ist schnell?
Will the Lord come? How quick is quickly? Will the Lord come quickly?
Wie schnell kommt der Herr?
How quickly will the Lord come?
Langsam oder schnell? Sind 2000 Jahre
are
langsam
are 2000 years slow or quick?
Iris, was meinst
du? Iris, what do you think? Slow or quick?
2000
years. For us, it is very slow, right? But for the Lord, it is just 2 days. 1,000 years are like a day. That's very quickly. Very quickly. We only have a human view. We don't see like the Lord sees.
We think,
oh Lord, 2,000 years ago you said, behold, I'm coming quickly, three times, and now where are you? 2,000 years later, Lord, you didn't say the truth. Lord, you said, behold, I'm coming quickly, but 2,000 years later, you're still not there. was the Lord wrong, Isa? Is there a mistake in the Bible? The Lord says, I come quickly 2,000 years ago and now we still sit here without him? Was the Lord wrong? Never. God's word is always right. But we only have a human view. We just look onto ourselves and we think, oh, a long time, this and that. And the Lord says, I'm coming quickly. And this is the truth. And when he said it 2,000 years ago, how much more is it right today? After 6,000 years of history of mankind, and the new covenant is there for 2,000 years, don't you think he's coming quickly? Don't you think it is so very actual, very up-to-date? The Lord is never wrong. The word is the truth. And he will come soon. He will come quickly. What do we do if someone calls me and say, can you come? And you tell him, yeah, I'm coming quickly. What does it mean? Will you wait up for a long time? If you tell you in Charanz, in Switzerland, oh, I'll come visit you quickly. What does it mean?
Oh, er kommt in fünf
oh, he will come in 5 years.
Oh, es sind noch 7 Jahre, oh it's noch
7 more years until he comes to Charanz. We have time to prepare him a bed. 10 years, then he will come to Charanz. Is that what you would think if I call you tomorrow and tell you we're coming quickly to Charanz? Will you then say, oh, he will come in 10 years?
No.
What do you think then if I say I come quickly?
Wann?
Yeah, yeah, you will think I come now, yeah. Of course. But unfortunately, in our head, we are so theological. We say, oh, the Lord said it 2,000 years ago, and then we're like, okay, then it will take another 500 years. We don't have to prepare. Oh, if it's 10 or 20 years, 100 years, it doesn't matter. Do you think that's how John wrote it down? The disciple, the apostle?
Johannes?
Why does it say then in verse 20, Amen? He doesn't say, oh, it will take so long. No, he says, Amen. What do you say when the Lord says, I'm coming quickly? Do you also say Amen? Or you say, oh, don't come so quickly, please. Wait another 10 years, please. Ah, yeah, in 10 years. If you have such an attitude, is it a good attitude for a Christian? Hans-Jürgen, what did the Lord tell the slave who said, oh, my Lord will not come for a long time? What did the Lord tell him? You good servant? Did he say that? No. He said, you evil and lazy and servant. And he even beat up his fellow servants and eating and drinking, and that was the result. If we are not living in the near coming of the Lord, or in this expectation of the soon coming of the Lord, then you start to do these things. We should not think that the coming of the Lord is so far. The Lord says, I'm coming quickly. Then let us be like John. Let us say, Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Does your heart that say also? Or just your mouth? With your mouth you say, Amen, come, Lord Jesus. But in your heart you say, oh, please, not yet. I wanted to go on vacation. I wanted to buy a house. I wanted to get married. I want to experience this and that. Can you wait 5 more years? Behold, I'm coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. That is the only healthy attitude a Christian can have. Everything else is not healthy. Don't think it is so spiritual to say, I don't think the Lord comes so soon. No, that's not very spiritual. All Christians before us, even 2,000 years ago, the Christians, the believers, they lived in the expectation of the coming of the Lord. Isn't it amazing? 2,000 years ago. Wow. Ananya, how old are you now? 12 years old. How long are 2,000 years compared to 12 years? You're very long, right? But can you imagine, even 2,000 years ago, the brothers before us lived as if the Lord would come in their time. Can you imagine that? In the Roman Empire, 2,000 years ago, there were no cars, no smartphones, nothing. A very different time. And they live in the expectation of the coming of Christ. Let us read in 1 Thessalonians 4. That's what Paul said to the church in Thessalonica. In 1 Thessalonians 4, from verse 16. 1 Thessalonians 4 from verse 16. What did Paul say at his time? It is long time ago. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. Wow, he speaks about a trumpet here. Wonderful. I love this word. This, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So he even speaks about the resurrection of the dead 2,000 years ago. And what does he say then in verse 17? Then we, so Paul and all apostles and disciples and the apostles and the church and church there, we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Did you ever read that? What Paul read them, told them 2,000 years ago? He didn't say, later, somewhat later, the saints, the believers, will be raptured in the clouds. No, he said, we who live. So he was sure they will be. They will be there when the Lord comes, and they will be raptured. That's what that was his attitude, and that was their attitude, and that's how they walked with the Lord. Isn't it amazing? And we today, we put it aside. We're like, oh, it will not happen in our time. Everyone before us said that. Have you heard that before? There was a nurse at our home because of Noah, my son, and I wear this shirt, Jesus comes soon. And as she said, my grandmother also said that already. And I said, like, your grandmother? But praise the Lord that she said that. Praise the Lord. Yes, to have such a grandmother is very good. Hilde, you are also such a grandmother. Right? Young Sun, yeah. Are you such a grandmother? When you go to... do you tell them, Jesus comes soon? Yeah, this is wonderful. We, that we live and remain, shall be caught up together with them. So Paul, even at his time, he believed that he will be raptured. He will be caught up and he will not die. And now tell me, Beat, what happened with Paul at the end? Did the Lord rapture him? No? What happened to him? Seruya, do you know? He was not raptured, right? Stefano. What did they do with Paul?
Genau, er ist als Märtyrer.
He became a martyr.
Er sagt zweimal in seinen Briefen.
Two times in his epistles he says, I will be poured out as a drink offering. And the time of my passing away is there in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And right after they killed him. So what do you think, George? Paul was wrong? Paul was wrong. In Thessalonians he said, we who live and remain will be caught up, will be raptured. And in Timothy he says, the time of my passing away is there. So 1 Thessalonians 4 is wrong. Right? Well, what do you think, Dunya? Yeah, but he died, but he was not raptured. So, what do you think? But it has to show us, Paul and the other apostles, they had this expectation that the Lord would come in their time. And that is what it is about. And this burning and this attitude, this mindset that the Lord would come soon, it has to burn in us the same way. Even more. Because we are even closer. And not only Paul, all the apostles lived in as if the Lord would come in that time. All of them, also Peter. Peter, at the end, he even got into trouble because they mocked him in 2 Peter. 2 Peter 3, in verse 3, it says, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, what do they say? Where is the promise of his coming? That's what they said to Peter. Peter kept telling them, the Lord comes soon. Be prepared, he's coming soon. What was the answer of man? And now, where is the promise of his coming? 1 year passed, 2 years, 3 years passed, and then they didn't believe anymore that the Lord would come. Just because some years had passed by. And they said, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. That's how people think. Oh, it was like that all the time. Look, nothing changed outside. Sun rises. We have day and night. So why do you say the Lord comes back soon? This is scoffing. If we have such an attitude, this is scoffing. And also James said, see, the judge is before the door. And what does it mean? The judge is at the door. And if you come to the meeting this morning, you stand there before the door. How long does it take to come in? From the glass door there and into this meeting hall. How long does it take? Very long.
Schnell.
No, quickly. It's quick. You're there right away. And that's how James and Peter and all the epistles were in their heart. Behold, I'm coming quickly. And that's how we should live with this expectation of the coming of Christ. Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. And the Lord comes very soon. He doesn't just say in his word, but because he loves us, and because he wants that everyone would repent, and because he wants that, he gives us signs of the time. Outward signs. Don't think outward signs are not important.
äußere Zeichen sind von Gott verordnet.
Outward signs are from God so that people would wake up and repent. That's the use of it. That's the purpose. He gives us because he loves. The Lord gives us these signs because he loves us. So don't scoff about it. But yeah, it is important that, and God gives it that people would repent. And in Matthew 16, verse 1, the Pharisees and Sadducees came to the Lord, testing him, and asked that he would show them a sign from heaven. And he answered and said to them, "When it is evening, you say, 'It will be fair weather, for the sky is red.' And in the morning, 'It will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening.' Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times." How is that possible? The Lord said, how is it possible? You can even prophesy the weather. But if the Lord gives a sign of the time, you're like, we don't need it. It is not spiritual. What is that? Yesterday night we talked about cheese. It's a German saying. What kind of cheese is that? Nonsense. Do we need signs of the times or not? Think about the first coming of the Lord 2,000 years ago. Marcus, did the Lord just come without signs? Suddenly, the Lord was there. Did it? Even before he was born, there were signs. A star in the sky. The star of Bethlehem, for example. The Lord, through the heavens, heavenly bodies, he showed that he will come quickly, that he will come soon. And even some of them listened to it, and they came from far to see the Messiah. Wow. So, and some of them expected him. Some of them didn't. The life of the Lord, from the beginning till the end, was there were signs in his whole life, because God wants to make sure that everyone who lived at that time has the chance to realize he is the Messiah. So he even confirmed it through outward signs. The Lord was born in Bethlehem. Or not? Nadja? Is the Lord, was the Lord born in Bethlehem? Yeah. Yes. But why in Bethlehem? His parents are from Nazareth. So, why in Bethlehem? Beat, where are your children born? In which city? Zurich?
Okay. Warum? Weil du dort wohnst, oder?
Yeah, because you live there in Mühlach or wherever the city is. But that's why they were born there, because you live there. But with the Lord, it was not like that. The Lord's parents are from Nazareth, but he was born in Bethlehem. How can it be? Hans-Jürgen, do you know why? Why did the Lord go to Bethlehem, or the parents? With him in their stomach or in their belly, or yeah, however you say, sorry. And why was it like that? Because it was because of Augustus. At that time, the Roman emperor. God used the Roman emperor, Augustus. And he gave into his heart, count the people. And everyone has to go back to his country, to his city, better to say, where they come from, and that's how Maria and Joseph went to Bethlehem. And then when they came there, that's where the Lord was born, so that the scripture would be fulfilled in Micah 5, verse 1 or 5. What an arrangement of the Lord. But it is not just happening just somehow. But God uses all kind of things in this world to fulfill His purpose, to show everyone He is the Messiah. He is it. And He used Augustus, an unbeliever. Was he a believer? A reborn Christian? Robert? Was Augustus a Christ like you? As a Christian like you, I'm sorry. Did he wear a shirt saying Jesus is coming soon? No, Augustus, he was not a reborn Christian. How can God use such a man to arrange to organize the birth of Christ? If I tell you God uses Augustus, you will say, go out. God doesn't use such people. He just uses holy people, super Christians like Kurt. No. Does the Lord do that? The Lord uses men. And He uses heavenly bodies. And He uses so many things on this earth to show people what He does. And therefore, in the end, no one can say, I couldn't know. No one can say, I couldn't know. I didn't know. Didn't you read Romans 1? And Epistle of Romans? That people have no excuse in the end. Didn't Paul say that? They have no excuse. Oh, I didn't know. But everyone saw the signs. Even if you read if you didn't hear the gospel in this way, but everyone saw the signs. Everyone sees the sun, the heaven, the moon. Even if you're an unbeliever at that time, you know what Augustus does. Everyone knew. And therefore, that's why God does it, that we realize His purpose. And if even this was important at the first coming of the Lord, that they would not miss the Messiah, do you think it's different with the second coming of the Lord? I tell you, when the Lord comes for the second time, there are even more signs. Even more signs, because it is even more important in a certain way, because the Lord now comes to bring His kingdom. The first coming was to fulfill redemption, the foundation. But the second coming is to conquer this earth and to give it to the Lord as His kingdom, to give it to God as His kingdom, and to fulfill His final masterpiece. So tell me, what is more important? His first or His second coming? The second coming. Of course, we need the first one, but the second one is the final one. It is what God always wanted. Even in the New Jerusalem, God moves from heaven to the earth, and He dwells in Jerusalem. Isn't it a wonderful time? A great, wonderful time that is coming towards us. No wonder God will give us all kinds of signs to show us that this time is coming. And of course, based on the scripture, that is the absolute foundation. But God uses outward signs to convince us, to show us how close His coming is.
Oh, Herr Jesus.
We, for all saints this morning, we have we summed up some of the most important signs that God gave us in these past times, that you hopefully would all be convinced that we live in the time of the coming of the Lord, of the return of the Lord. Let us turn on the beamer. Do you see it from there? Can you put it on the small one also? So so we have Zoom there now. Yeah, if you don't see, then just take a different seat. We only have a screenshot here, maybe you know it. Where did you see it before? Did you see that before?
Ah, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
You're following the signs of the times, that's good. Wir haben nur mal kurz einen Screenshot gemacht von diesem Bild da hinten.
We made a screenshot from this picture in the back here, and we will renew it with the young people this afternoon, because there are too many signs that are not yet on this timeline, so we have to make an update. And I just want to show you this picture to see how much the Lord did in these past years, how much the Lord revealed in these past years. And you don't maybe see it because it's too small, but you can look at it later. The first two are from 1948 and 1967. Those are the two big signs that God gave us about the nation of Israel, the foundation of the nation of Israel in 1948, and then the Six-Day War in 1967. And the next one is already from 2014. So, in a time from 1948 to 2014, 66 years passed. And we only have two signs before. But from 2014 to today, 2024, almost till today, 2025 is not yet there, but we will update it. It's only 10 years. So how many times did the Lord give us in the past 10 years compared to the 66 years before? That are really very clear signs. So what do I want to say? In the past 10 years, there's so many signs that even a blind one has to realize the time is there. It is really near. Of course, in the beginning, it was the starting of it, but the beginning of it. But then, in the past 10 years, there's a fullness of signs that becomes more every day. And that has to show us the Lord is coming very soon. And some of them, we want to remind you about them, that you don't forget them. Yesterday night in the meeting, the brother said, read Peter, who said, "I will say you again and again, and I don't get tired of telling you again and again." And it, because, but some of you, or maybe some of us, we already forgot because we didn't speak so much about it in the past days, in the past years, or in the past time. And that's why we want to remember you this morning.
Richtig.
So we really have to take heed now, have to be prepared now, because it goes on more, quicker and quicker. Yeah, that's why Peter uses this word. If he talks about the day of the Lord, did you read in 2 Peter 3, If we are awaiting the coming of the Lord and slow it down, no, that's not what he said. We speed it up. What does it mean? It becomes quicker and quicker. And this is what we realize. The Lord is speeding up his return. Let us look at some signs, and it should stir up our spirit. Lord, come quickly. And we start in 2014. Let us start there. In 2014 and 15, and in these 2 years, God gave some very rare constellation on the sky of the heavenly bodies, which is four blood moons, in a row, 2014 and 15. And the special thing about it, on this row and order, is that their appearance was exactly on the most important feasts of the Jews, which is the Passover feast, the first day of the Passover feast, and the last feast, the Feast of Tabernacles. There is seven feasts, and the first one is the Feast of Passover, and the last one is the Feast of Tabernacles. And in the year 2014, exactly on these days, you see the dates here, at the Feast of the Lord, you could see a blood moon on the sky, in the heavens. And that was 2 years in a row, exact on that days, on that date. And such a constellation in the past 500 years, we only had three times. Only three times. And when was it? The first one, shortly after the foundation of the nation of Israel. Not in 1650 or 1800, no, it was in 1948. Isn't it amazing? When the nation of Israel was founded. And the second one was exactly in these 2 years of the Six-Day War, 1967, when Israel reconquered Jerusalem. Can you imagine that? 500 years. And it is exactly on these days. That's the first two signs of our timeline. And then, sorry, I don't hear him. Before there were others, but let us look at the past 500 years. I mean, in 6,000 years, of course, there were also such constellations, but to give you an impression, in such a long time of 500 years, God confirmed important happenings through such signs. And the third one in these past 500 years is this one, 2014 and 2015. So what did the Lord, what was the important thing that the Lord did in that time for the nation of Israel? He, he used a worldly leader who, in the year of 2015, in the 16th of June of 2015, announced that he will run as president of the United States. Later, we will see why Trump has such an important role for Israel. Like Augustus in the time of Jesus, same thing. Like Cyrus in the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, He has an important role, Trump, not because we like him or we for him, that doesn't matter. We have to see God uses men in high positions. That's why we should pray for them. Like Paul said to Timothy in the epistle to Timothy. And something else happened in the year 2015. This is the earthly perspective, so to speak. But there is also a heavenly perspective. Since the 30th of July in 2015, we meet as the heavenly Jerusalem. Isn't it amazing? Wow. I went back, and to be honest, in the year 2015, I didn't know that there are blood moons above me. I saw it later. But what a confirmation! The 30th of July. Do you remember that, Christian? Isn't that amazing? What a sign. Only 6 weeks after Trump announced his presidency, he's running for president. Is it a coincidence? No, I don't think so. And not only that. And just that you know, the next such constellation, is in the year 2500. 82. So you need to be a little bit patient there. Then, 2nd of August 2016, the Temple Institute in Jerusalem started to found a school for priests. Wow. A school for priests. They brought the sons of Levites together and come to Jerusalem and be trained to become a priest. That's why we see this sheep here, to be offered as an offering at the Feast of Passover. And many other things they learned. Isn't it amazing? What a sign of the time. Why is it a sign of the time of times? At the 2nd of August, do you know what we did in a summer conference in August in 2016? Yeah, we had a summer conference. And what was the burden of the summer conference? I give you a screenshot of the outline. The holy and kingly priesthood. Wow. Also a priestly school. Isn't it amazing? These days, I made some research and I was like, wow, really? That was the first conference with this title in this past time. At the same time, like the priestly school in Jerusalem. That was August, and our conference was also August. It was at the same time. Of course, we have nothing to do with the priestly school in Jerusalem, but our priestly school is Christ as the spiritual offerings. And this was in summer 2016. Just a second, we're going to switch translators.
Dann am 23. September 2017, ein Jahr später, hat Gott ein massives Zeichen am Himmel gezeigt. Nämlich das Zeichen am Himmel aus Offenbarung Kapitel 12.
One year later there was the signs of the times in Revelation 12. What happened at this time?
Eine super seltene Konstellation von Planeten.
God made a very rare sign in the heavens that only you could say only one time.
Dass sich um das Sternbild der Jungfrau
that it's
und den Löwen
picture of the Virgin and a lion, exactly what it says in Revelation 12. Is that not amazing? Normally it's above the head of the Virgin. Nine. There are always nine there. And that's one, that's why it's 1 to 9. And on this day, three planets also lay in the same row that was attached to the 12 stars that was above the head of the Virgin or Virgo. She had a crown of 12 stars on top or above her head. We can go into specifics, but in this moment, the sun covered her and the moon was under her feet. Can you, the moon under her feet and clothed with the sun and 12 above the head and a man-child in her stomach bosom. Mark Richter, when you're thinking, what is the most important in Revelation 12 for you? And what does that have to do with us? The rapture. When I see Revelation 12, I think of the rapture. As the child was born, like it says in chapter 12, was raptured to God and his throne. Why right now do we have this sign?
Wow.
God made it so clear for the people that the rapture is coming soon. It won't last so long. It won't be so long. And that was already in 2017. And for us, maybe it was a while, still a while ago, but now, even more so. And that was a sign that in September 2017, what did the Lord do in the heavenly Jerusalem in 2017? Two outlines in spring and once in summer. At that time, there were two conferences where God spoke to us twice about the book of Isaiah. I think Wilfried even made a book about Isaiah, at least the first two sections, or three. Please take it with you. It was a glorious conference. And the main revelation, the most important revelation that God gave, in this, especially in the summer, was that God spoke about Cyrus. Why? Because this word Cyrus, the name of this Persian leader, he came the first time in Isaiah. It was mentioned the first time in Isaiah. It came 150 years before he was born. Silas, do you know a book that we say in 850 that was written and it says Silas Bolender will do this and this and that? In the school, did you find anything like that in your history books? No, there wasn't. Cyrus was mentioned in Isaiah before he was born with the name. That amazed me as I read that. Can you imagine that? Okay, we're going to switch one more time. But
wer sagt, die Bibel ist nicht glaubwürdig? Markus, glaubst du an die Bibel? 100%. Jeder geringste Zweifel, den könnt ihr aus dem Fenster werfen.
The word of God is the truth. And I'm really amazed. Cyrus was mentioned. Yeah. How do you find that? I find it is amazing. It is strong. So with announced by with his name that he will come, and we had a summer conference about that in 2017. We spoke about it, and why did the Lord reveal that? Because at that time, President Trump was the president for half a year already. 2017 in January. He became the president, his first term. And half a year later, when we got to know a little more about him, in this conference, the Lord showed us he's not just such a man. Any kind of man, any kind of politician. But he is called by God to do something special. And at that time, it was not clear in detail what he will do and when he will do it. But one thing we knew, he is the modern Cyrus. And this word, the modern Cyrus, because this is the old Cyrus here, of course, that Isaiah mentioned in the first place, first of all, but the Lord showed us this word will be fulfilled again in Trump, because he is the modern day Cyrus, and he will do the same thing, like that what the first Cyrus did. And what did the first Cyrus do? He let the people of Israel go, leave Babylon after 70 years of captivity. And where to go? To Calf? Jericho? No. To Jerusalem. Isn't it wonderful? And there, they started to build the house. And in this conference, God showed us, and thank the Lord for that, that this man is called by God to do something for God's people. And remember that, 70 years before the state of Israel was founded, and now we are at 70 again. And 70 years later, like at the time of Cyrus, God awakes another Cyrus. Isn't it amazing? So this was in summer 2017. Who was there? Yeah, I was also there, I think, yeah. Yeah, wonderful conference. Iris, were you there? I don't remember. Please, go to Wilfried and get the literature about this conference. Wilfried, you have to print it again. Isn't it amazing that God gives us such a revelation to his people? And this was in summer 2017. And what happened? September, October, November, December, only 4 months after this conference, Trump recognized Jerusalem as the eternal capital of Israel. Isn't it amazing? The Word of God is really true. God gives revelation, and right after, he fulfills it. No other president did that before him. Everyone is afraid of war. No one did that. Trump was the first one who said, Jerusalem is the capital.
Wow.
And 2 months later, and now we are at in the year of 2018, and that was the 70th year of the foundation of the nation of Israel. The Temple Institute, because of what Trump did, of the announcement of Trump, for the first time, they printed these temple coins. Those are real coins. Ah, I wanted to bring it. Actually, I forgot it. We can look at it tonight, maybe. It's a real shekel out of silver. And these coins, they came out in February 2018. And now, guess what you see on this temple coin. Maybe you don't see it so good here, but it is also written on the outside. It is the Trump Cyrus coin. That's how they call it. The Temple Institute in Israel, in Jerusalem, they printed President Trump and King Cyrus onto this coin. Half a year earlier, the Lord showed us this in the summer conference. And half a year later, the Temple Institute in Israel, in Jerusalem, they had the same vision. They saw the same vision. Wow. Maybe they listened to our conference. Isn't it amazing? The word of God is being fulfilled. Trump, Cyrus, the modern-day Cyrus. He's the modern-day Cyrus who brought God's people back to the capital. And 1 year later, in the same year, 2018, he moved the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem. You see the building here. And that was exactly on the 17th, the day of the 17th year, the anniversary of the State of Israel. 14th of May 1948, Israel was founded, and 14th May of 2018, Trump moved the embassy to Jerusalem. Isn't it a sign of the time, Karin? What do you think? Yeah, 100%. Praise the Lord. You're right.
And then
2019, another sign of the times, the spring conference in Degerloch. Yeah, it's a sign of the time. Yeah, here you see the saints. In this time, the Lord impressed us so much of these past years that I spoke about. That in this time we realized now that it is coming to an end. We are right before the end. And we asked ourselves, what is next? If Trump is the Cyrus, the modern-day Cyrus, of course, and Israel, and he will save Israel and the Jews to bring them to Jerusalem, then we are right before a very important time. And that's what we fellowshipped about in this conference. And one of the slides we showed was this one. This is an original slide of this conference. Some of you maybe remember. At that time we said, wow, if Trump is really the modern-day Cyrus, then next thing is that he will make the peace treaty with many nations. And why? Because Daniel, the prophet Daniel, speaks about it. Daniel 9:27. One of the most important prophecies is this. One of the most important announcement of this last week in Daniel 9:27 is the covenant with many, the peace treaty with many. And that's why we said, okay, we make this assumption. Let's assume if Trump makes the treaty, and at that time, in April 2019, there was no sign of any kind of peace treaty. And that's why we said it is an assumption. We don't know when he will do it and how he will do it and who is involved. But let us assume he will do it. And 2017, he started his presidency and he has 4 years. And we were really convinced that he would be re-elected right away.
nachdem er solche Errungenschaft für Israel
after he did so many things for Israel,
dass er geht.
It was impossible that he would leave the office afterwards because his work for Israel was not finished, right? And that's why we said, okay, we assume that he will be re-elected. And we were at that time in April 2019. Yeah, you have to imagine, we showed that in a conference in 2019 and said, we are here. Okay, of course, now we are somewhere back there, but at that time, we were in April 2019, and we assumed Trump would make the peace treaty, like mentioned in Daniel 9:27. And we said, okay, another assumption was Trump would be re-elected in 2020, and we also clearly saw God's time plan is according to the feasts in Leviticus Chapter 23. That means if God does something important, it will be around the time of the feasts of the Lord. And that's why we said, okay, if it's like that, and we took these assumptions, then it is very likely, in this conference, April 2019, we said, it's very likely that in autumn 2020, there will be a covenant, a peace treaty.
Und dann im Herbst 2027,
and then in autumn 2027, because we have two terms, that's what we assumed, that somewhere there, if they will be the last 7 years, if this really happens, if they start there around autumn
2022,
yeah, we said it is very likely that it starts in autumn 22 because then it would fit to his two terms and to his second term. And that's why we showed that 2019 in autumn 22, it is likely that a peace treaty comes. And if that comes, if that really happens, then we are right before a wonderful opportunity of rapture in April 24. And why is that? Because the middle of the week has a very special emphasis in Daniel 9:27. And from Revelation we know the rapture has to take place right before the middle of the week. And that's what we always said, and that's why back then we all hoped wonderfully, now it becomes serious. Didn't you all live in the soon expectation of the coming of the Lord at that time? It was really strong. It was really amazing. And of course, maybe some of us were in such great joy and expectation and focus too much on this date that here that was mentioned. And I'm really sorry about that. But behind it, there is a burning that it's coming very soon. That's what is behind it, and that's a reason for that. And that's how we all lived. Yeah, some decisions we made, we made it with the background of knowing the Lord comes back soon. Yeah, in our family life, in our job life, and that's how we should live, like the apostles. That's how they lived.
Wow.
And that's why we said, can we, just a quick question.
Yeah.
Trump right now makes peace treaties. You maybe know more about it. I don't hear her very well now, so I'm sorry. She doesn't have a microphone. And all the other states who... against Israel, probably he wants to make peace treaties with them. Richtig. Probably that's what she said. So, yes, it is burning, so to speak. And I'll talk about that later, what she mentioned, but I just want to show you now, we said in April 2019, very likely, the peace treaty will come in autumn 2020. That we said that, literally. Yeah. And 15 September 2020, there was the Abraham Accord between Trump, Netanyahu, Israel, the Emirates and Bahrain, and now, and in the meantime, others joined. But isn't it amazing? In April 2019, the Lord gave us this burden. Next year, in the coming year, this peace treaty could come. And then almost on time, at the Feast of Trumpets, 3 days before the Feast of Trumpets in Jerusalem, Trump announced this peace treaty, this Abraham Accord. What a trumpet! Isn't it amazing? And now to come back to your comment, what Trump is doing now, he brings the nations into this covenant, into this Abraham Accord. This is the covenant with many, like mentioned in Daniel 9:27. In the beginning, just a few nations, but now it is being filled up. And until today, they speak about this accord, this Abraham Accord, in this whole Gaza war right now. The Abraham Accord was mentioned many times. Amazing. And it is a battle, of course, but it is in a final stage.
Good.
And the rest, let us go on a little faster now. Time is almost up. But right after, there was the election 2020. And the election 2020, we knew that Trump would win 100%. Why? Because he is, because God, he so to speak, works for God. And I tell you, he did win, but the enemy took it away. That's the truth. Unfortunately, in all the media today, you cannot read anything about it. And this is the battle about what Marita just talked. Because the media, they lie and they don't tell you that. But if you were in the US and you know the main people there, so to speak, they will tell you that they know the election was stolen. And until today, there are so many proofs. We even made a presentation about that. We will not repeat it now, but that show that Trump has won this election. Trump won this election. And therefore, we see Trump was the president from 17 till 21. Then he won, but the election was stolen by the Democrats. And that's why I have Biden with a question mark here, because he was not the real president. But why did it happen like this? Why did God let that happen? The answer is that the scripture would be fulfilled. Because not only Daniel 9 has to be fulfilled about the covenant with many, the peace treaty, but also Daniel 2 about the end of democracy. We know from Daniel 2 that the Antichrist, the beast, and the 10 nations only come when the age of democracy ends. That's the foot out of iron and clay and the 10 toes. And until that time, it was not so clear that democracy is really destroyed. And especially in the United States, because the United States is, so to speak, it's the number one democracy in this world. But Since 2020, we know, and latest since 2020, we know, democracy is over. The election should be democratic. And he who wins the democratic election is the president. But here, the opinion of the people was nullified. It was, and others just brought in this other president and not what the people wanted. Democracy means the people rules, but the people didn't rule here. They elected Trump, but he didn't get into office. And that's why God used these 4 years to show the whole world it's the end of democracy. You can deal with it yourself, you don't have to, but you can do it. What happened in these 4 years of Biden, yeah. Ask the Americans, they can tell you. This country fell apart. It fell apart in all corners and places. In this time, two great wars were started, Ukraine and Gaza. And they would never have happened if Trump were the president. But they did it on purpose to prepare Armageddon. These 4 years were necessary to expose the end of the democracy and to prepare the battle, the big battle of the battle of the Armageddon. And you saw it in a speech a few days ago, when Netanyahu spoke at the United Nations. 90% of the delegates left the hall. They are all against Israel, and that's why this was a preparation for Armageddon. And we didn't see that in 2019. God didn't show it to us back then, that we need these 4 years. I would also have been happy if we had seen it clearer at that time. But what's the use? The important thing is to live in the expectation of the coming of the Lord. But you know, the amazing thing is Trump came back. Yeah, he's back again. Who doesn't hear this trumpet? I'm really sorry. If you don't hear this trumpet, there were only two presidents in the whole history of the United States who came back, who left out one term, one presidency of 4 years, and then they came back. This is almost impossible. Usually that doesn't happen. Yeah? Only two since 1776. And that's why we also didn't think about that, right? And that, therefore, at that time, the last 7 years, that's how we assumed them at that time. But now, through this 4 more years that came in, all we have to do, we just have to move it a little bit to the right. Don't ask me how much, but there is not so much space, okay? I'm sorry, Karin. We don't have so much time, so much space. Yeah, there's no space.
Ist wunderbar. Richtig.
The Lord knows when the 7 years started. We will not figure it out because the scripture doesn't tell us. But you can calculate yourself how close we are.
We
got another 4 years, and for the world it was an exposure of the end of democracy. But for us, it is a salvation. Yeah? Read again 2 Peter 3. It says, don't take it as... I don't remember the word, but it basically says it's God's grace, and God gives us more time, because he doesn't want that anyone would be lust, but that all would be saved. So be glad that you have four more years, that you had four more years that God gave you for your salvation. That's why we have to redeem the time. And then in the year
22,
five red heifers were brought to Israel. I saw a red heifer once in the Sharanz once. Yeah, you too, we saw it. That is wonderful. I was like, can I take it with me? we got 1 kilo of meat, but that's not what I meant. But anyways, it was a wonderful red heifer. It was really beautiful. Is it still there? No, not there anymore. Okay. Why are red heifers so important for God? Because they are used to cleanse the priesthood and the place of worship from death. And the Jews, they will not offer up sacrifices if the place of worship is not cleansed by the ashes of the red heifer. It means the red heifer will be burned and then the ashes will be collected. The place of worship will be sprinkled with the water and the ashes. And then when these five red heifers were there, there were different kinds of news about them. Yeah, first of all, they were all qualified, but then there was the news. One was disqualified, another was disqualified, three were disqualified, and then one disappeared, and no one knew where is the fifth heifer, where did it go? There was much confusion, many news and much confusion, and no one knew what really happened, especially about the heifer that disappeared. But the fact is, 1st of July 2025, a red heifer was sacrificed in Israel, close to Jerusalem, but not in Jerusalem. Because the scripture says the red heifer has to be sacrificed outside of Jerusalem. The Temple Institute, who did that, said, yeah, it is we're testing. It's a test if it works. And then, as you see here in All Peace, they sacrificed this cow and this heifer and they burned it. But the Jews who were there and made this ceremony, there's a rabbi, they did everything according to the scripture and according, as it should be. And the one, American guy who brought these heifers to Israel, he was there, he joined them, and he organized it. And he said, let us do a test run. You see him here in the picture, Stenson is his name. And he said, after everything was done, the Temple Institute said, it was a test. But I tell you, it was the perfect red heifer. And he organized it. We had a real priest, a 20-year, who was never at a cemetery, never in a hospital, who was prepared for this day his whole life. He sacrificed the cow outside of Jerusalem and a qualified heifer. And this man took a little bag out of his pocket and said, I have something of the ashes here. Wow. Isn't it amazing? That was in July 2025, not so long ago. So now we are almost finished.
8th
of April 24 again a sign in the sky, the total solar eclipse in the United States,
which made,
and 1 year ago we said, yeah, it looks like a cross and something will happen. And 3 months later, someone was shot, and it was Trump, who was almost shot, 13th of July, 24. Isn't it amazing? We don't have to go into detail, but we know something like this will happen again in the future, according to the Word of God. It will happen again. And why did God let him live July 24? And you remember, it was a millimeters only. And a few days ago, some of his faithful disciples, so to speak, was killed. Yeah, this Charlie Kirk. They hit him and he was killed. But why didn't they kill him? Because God's work with Trump is not yet finished. Something is still missing. And what is missing? The temple. The holy place. Here you see the verse of Isaiah 44:28. And Isaiah says, who speaks of Cyrus? He is my shepherd, and he will do all my will, and he will say to Jerusalem, be built, and to the temple be founded. And Trump is coincidentally the most famous real estate businessman of this world. It's not bad if you're expert in real estate and you want to build a temple, right? He's not any kind of doctor like Wolfgang. Yeah, he's a real estate guy. That's why God called him and brought him in to start this building. And which is it? The temple. Be founded. He will say that one day in the future. If he's the Cyrus, the modern-day Cyrus, at some day in the future will say to the temple, be founded. And the preparations that we see right now in Gaza, it will end. It will lead to that this last important prophecy will be fulfilled. And when he will start to help the Jews to build the temple or the holy place, however you want to call it, that's the last thing, the last great sign that the Messiah is at the door, and this time is not so far away. It's not so far away. You're hungry already, probably, yeah? Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, let us have some prayers. The signs are there for the temple. The materials are there. The altar is there. It is all prepared. It is all finished. Lunch is not ready. Okay.
Ich will euch. Ich will nur hinzufügen, wie Markus richtig.
The only thing I want to add is, like Markus said, everything is prepared. The priesthood prepares since 2016, and this time in the Temple Institute, they used to prepare all the materials. The lampstand is there, out of gold. A Jew from Ukraine. Prepared it. He took a talent of gold and he made this lampstand. It is prepared. It is all there. The red heifer. Probably we have the ashes. And the signs to show you the way to the temple are there. And all the feasts and ceremonies They moved it more and more towards the temple, the Jews, in the past years.
And Trump,
in his proposal to the Hamas, he said, this is the chance to have eternal peace. It really sounds like a covenant with many, peace treaty with many.
So
even his Secretary of Defense gave a presentation a few years ago, his Secretary of War, yeah. That's how he's called now, yeah. He gave a speech, a presentation, and said, the temple will be built. That is his Secretary of War. One of his closest people. And he overlooks the whole military. And you tell me how much time there is still. If the Lord says, I am coming quickly.
Noel,
very quickly, right?
Yeah. Lob den Herrn.
Sorry, I don't understand her, unfortunately.
Der Leuchter. Die Marita hat ihn schon gesehen.
Marita saw the lampstand.
Jetzt brauchen wir noch den geistlichen Leuchter, der fertig ist.
Now we need the spiritual lampstand.
Den goldenen
Leuchter. That is prepared. The golden lampstand, God's masterpiece on this earth. Do you want to be part of it? Now more than ever before, right?
Kurt,
do you want to be somewhere else? Here is the door, look.
Nein?
No?
Ah, du bleibst.
Ah, you stay. Okay, good. Very good. We all want to stay in the house of the Lord until he comes back. What's the use of doing just anything now? It's not worth it. The time is so short. Time is so short. Signs of the times show us. So therefore, we say like Paul, redeem the time, for the days are evil. We don't have much time left. Praise the Lord. No, it's good enough. Okay. Let us have some prayers and then we have a break.
What? Yeah. Das? Ach so, den ersten. Das ist Folie 1.
Yeah. Okay, the timeline, yeah?
Ja, der ist leider nicht ganz aktuell.
Yeah, it's not up to date.
Wir haben nur
bis 20, was? Only have it till 2024.
So heute Nachmittag und morgen Nachmittag treffen wir uns mit
this afternoon and tomorrow afternoon we meet with the teenagers, the young people,
also ungefähr 12, 13,
12, 13 to 19 years old.
Noel darf auch kommen.
Noel can also come.
Noel ist 20.
Noel is 20.
It's okay. Wir werden mit diesem Zeitstrahl
make this timeline new with the young people together. Why? Because it has to be more flexible because there are so many signs. You cannot add any new signs here at the back without printing it newly. So that's why we do it all step by step, one by one. And if there's a new sign, we can just stick it on. Praise the Lord for that.
Maranatha.
Maranatha, amen. Yeah.
Good.
Lord, give us all a prepared heart, a heart that only loves your appearing. Lord, we want to say amen. Come, Lord Jesus, amen. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus, amen. Hallelujah. Come, Lord Jesus. Yeah, I am coming quickly. Behold, I'm coming quickly. A good preparation is the book table. The book table is for all. But today, especially for those who are new or here for the conference, praise the Lord. Yeah, I really want to have to testify. The word that we heard this morning in the past 10 years, it really gave us this mindset, the Lord comes back soon. And it's so healthy for us, for our going on and for our preparation. We need this view and this mindset, the Lord is coming. Because if we have this view, it will prepare us. If we say in our heart, the Lord will not come back for a long time, then it's difficult. Then it is over. Then we are for sure not prepared when the Lord comes. But in his past 10 years, like Toby showed in this whole meeting, the Lord spoke to us again and again, I'm coming. And he confirmed it. And that brought us forward. That healed us. That saved us from the world. And that brought us to the Lord. That saved us. And we should not lose that. No. The other way around. It should not cool down in our hearts. It should come, but it should burn even more and more. The closer it comes, the Lord is at the door. And so I'm so thankful that we have such meetings, because it should be written into our heart that the Lord is coming. And all these signs the Lord gives us that we would prepare. It is written, the Lord does nothing without letting his prophets know. The Lord lets us know. He doesn't just come back and we are not prepared. No. But he prepares us since 10 years for his return. I'm so thankful to the Lord for that. We have to hold fast to this word. Amen. I want to also add what it means for me that I know the Lord is coming back. That doesn't mean I do crazy things and unuseful things, but I reach out to Christ. That's my preparation. Even more to be focused on, Lord, I want to love you. That is our preparation. That the house of the Lord would be finished. This temple will be built soon, but what the Lord actually wants, what he's longing for, is that his house would be built, that his city would be built and finished. And that's us. And we build it in our daily life. And that's what we should focus on. Amen. And you could see what in the heavenly Jerusalem happens. Determines what happens in this world. This is so important. So important is it what the Lord does. It is not the world that determines what in the spiritual world happens, but it is the spiritual thing, the things that determine what happens in this world. Do we have this consciousness? Do we live like that? That it is what happens here determines the world history? Think about Noah's Ark. What determines the coming of the flood is the building of the ark. Whenever the ark was finished, God said, now the flood is coming. It was not about anything else. It was about the finishing of the ark. So let us be such and live as such who carry such a responsibility to build and be part of that will end this age. And the fulfillment of his finishing of his church will end this age. And that's what our life should focus on. Yeah, what do you want to live for? In the time of Noah, if you don't build the ark, the flood will take you away. Even if you're a believer, yeah. Also in the time of Noah, there were not only unbelievers. He had brothers and sisters, and there were for sure also believers. But they didn't faithfully build the ark with Noah till the end. And they didn't enter in. That's what was missing, and that's why the flood took them away. Now, it's our turn. What do we do? What do we see? It is determined now. It is not at the day of rapture. When the water pours down, it is too late. You cannot change anything. You have to make a decision now. It is now. And now you have to make a decision what you do with your life, how you live with the Lord, how you serve him, how you give yourself for him. How our heart looks today is determined today and determines the rapture. It is not something you're part of it or not out of coincidence. No, it has to do with preparation. If you build the ark, if you support there every day, then you will be raptured for sure. And that's why we make the right decision for ourselves daily and gain the Lord and give ourselves for His purpose. And if there's something still more important in our heart, let us purge it out. Let us cast it out. Because it's all ashes. And when the Lord, when the day comes, the fire comes, it will all become ashes. Whatever you build now, if it's not Zion, because Zion will be raptured. So let us be wise and redeem the time. Because it's always shorter now, and soon it's finished. And then if you're not raptured, what do you have? It's a disaster. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. But if you rapture to the throne, then they praise God with one accord, with one voice. So we have the choice. But you have to make it now and not later. And it's time to make the right choice now. May the Lord open our eyes that we would be wise, because the time is near.